God's will, not always easy. It's not always easy to say goodbye to a dream. God's will, not always easy. It's not always easy to say goodbye to a dream. But the telling will take me home. My dreams were mine only, they were mine alone. God's will, I know I must go. Where you ask me to go, I'm not the first one you've had to show. What's in God's will? God's will. Lord, I'm a sinner. How can you a man such as me? God's will, where will you lead me? A man once dishonored, Lord, how can this be? But you came to save and seek the lost, and I lay all my sin at the foot of your cross. God's will, I know I must go. Where you ask me to go, I'm not the first one you've had to show. What's in your will? But I don't know the answers to some of the questions. Where does a child learn to grow? It's a total surrender of the life I've been living. A total surrender of the life we've been given. A wondrous joy to be a servant. What a wondrous joy to be serving. It's a wondrous joy to be serving when I'm in God's will.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, in love you spoke me into being before the foundation of the world. Your love has surrounded me and patiently nudged me forward into greater intimacy with you. Thank you for how you have used work to deepen my journey with you. Holy Spirit, come now and guide these words to fill our minds with you so we can know you more intimately. Amen. Soul Work, Finding God in Your Entrepreneurial Pursuits by Lowell W. Buznitz. Part 1, Discovering God Already at Work. Chapter 1, Striving to Connect God and Work. Why are those who seem more interested in spiritual issues the ones who often go on to full-time ministry? This is a question I asked of my teacher one Sunday morning when I was 17 years old. It seems those with more spiritual interests are less likely to pursue vocational alternatives, I continued. Behind my inquiry was a wrestling with the reality of God's presence. I thought to myself, if I really want to grow in knowing God, will I be disadvantaged by pursuing a vocational direction, not in full-time ministry? I had already tested the Lord's presence, but it was becoming apparent that I was only at the tip of the iceberg. I longed for more. Did my career track matter in this regard? Should my level of spiritual interest drive my career path? Although my budding biblical perspective was pointing me toward a God who was equally relevant across all vocations, was what I thought really true? From early in my life, I learned work could be good. Of course, it was also necessary for making a living. From the proceeds of work, we are able to eat, go to school, support family, and serve others. It was largely unspoken, but self-respect and good things also come from work. My earliest encounter with entrepreneurial work came when I was just 8 years old in 1960. Taking clues from my mom's large garden, I carved out my own plot of land. After a spring and summer of tilling the soil and caring for my plants, the highlight of the year came when I loaded up my harvested pumpkins to offer them to a local grocer. I still vividly remember my exchange with the store manager and the moment he handed me a check for $2.60, which today is worth about $10. In exchange for the 7 pumpkins. My first entrepreneurial endeavor had earned a nice return. I felt a sense of accomplishment and dignity from this gardening effort, and I realized that work could indeed be good. But was there any spiritual significance to it? Except for when it rained on parched soil, I rarely gave more than a passing thought to how my everyday work could be relevant for my journey in growing toward God. God graciously guided me through my challenges and misperceptions. By His grace, I've seen the reality of His presence meaningfully penetrating my work. I now see God as present in all my life. Furthermore, work has become an incredibly valuable channel for coming into a closer union with Him. Do you struggle with finding God in your work? Are you frustrated when work seems to get in the way of your relationship with God? Consider an alternative of journeying with me in this book as it charts a course for us, both through opportunity to engage with the living God through your work. The God touches I've experienced in my work resulted in significant steps forward, and I now realize that He has been more powerfully present in my work than I once could have ever imagined. If we believe that God is already present in our workplaces, then we will realize how our work can become transformative and draw us into a more beautiful intimacy with Him. Vocations in Scripture. As God reveals Himself to me and to all of mankind, I'm particularly impacted by my reflections of the workplace in the Scriptures. To illustrate God's clear interest in our vocations, let's consider the following vocations mentioned in the Scriptures with modern-day counterparts. Carpenters and woodworkers. God gave Bezalel the Spirit of God and the skill in woodwork and craftsmanship to build the furnishings of the tabernacle, Exodus 31:2-4, and many were involved in building David's house, 2 Samuel 5:11. Jesus learned the construction trade from Joseph, Matthew 13:55 and Mark 6:3. International business people. Solomon was a business entrepreneur involved in international trade and merchant ships, 1 Kings 10:22-29, 2 Chronicles 9:13-14. He also had profitable partnerships with kings and queens, 1 Kings 10:1-13. Ultimately, though, his great wisdom and the resulting work and wealth gave way to arrogance and diversion and away from his union with God. Merchants. There were entrepreneurs in the marketplace. Some did well and were spoken of appreciatively, 2 Chronicles 9:13 through 14, and Song 3, verse 6, while others were called out for dishonest gain, Hosea 12:7, Revelation 12:15. Lydia, the dealer in purple cloth from Thyatira, was likely an accomplished and influential entrepreneur. She was also Paul's first convert in Philippi, Acts 16:14 through 15 and verse 40. Doctors and nurses, there were physicians who embalmed Joseph's father, Jacob, Genesis 50, verse 2. There were midwives in the birthing of babies, Exodus 1:15 through 21. Nurses were often honored positions, 2 Samuel 4:4 and 2 Kings 11:2, as well as Genesis 24:59 and 35, verse 8. There were doctors who tried to cure people, Mark 5:25 through 26. Luke, the writer of his gospel and Acts, was also a physician, Colossians 4:14. Teachers. There were those who taught the next generations, Exodus 18:20 and Colossians 3:16. And teaching was also identified as a spiritual gift, 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Romans 12:6 through 7. Night watchmen, security personnel. There were guards and those who protected the cities from violence, 2 Samuel 18, verse 24 through 27, Isaiah 21, verse 11 through 12, and Psalms 127, 1. Urban redevelopers. Nehemiah was very entrepreneurial in the gathering of resources and managing the rebuilding of the wall. See the book of Nehemiah. Administrators and government leaders. Although enslaved under enemy nations, Joseph, Mordecai, and Daniel used their appointments as government leaders to serve the Lord and the people of Israel, which led to pivotal turns in history. Genesis chapter 41, verse 37, Esther 6 through 10, Daniel 5, the city clerk in Acts 19, verse 35. Joseph was deeply touched by his work and later recognized God's great good. From these examples, it's apparent that God's purposes for us don't hinge on whether we're in full-time ministry. In God's economy, one career is not more sacred than another. The relevance and vitality of knowing God and the potential of His presence is available in all careers. What is rarely addressed is how work can become a channel for enabling spiritual flourishing. Linking God and work. In my early adult years, I understood human flourishing to come through praying, meditating on the scriptures, collective worship, loving one another, communicating the message of God to others in my workplace, practicing strong ethics, and so on and so on. To this day, my soul continues to find nourishment as I engage in these practices. Then, when I was in my early 30s, some subtle shifts started taking place in my life. As an entrepreneur in the construction industry, I became intrigued with the different kinds of wood and the importance of the right wood for various applications. For example, I discovered that while yellow pine is strong for structural purposes, it also quickly rots if subjected to moisture, but cedar and redwood can handle years of exposure to the outdoor elements. For interior applications, I found out that the variations between open and closed grain woods impact the way they absorb stain, and that the style of the grain also helps to set the desired tone for a room. The density and hardness of different woods also have implications for milling and use. Contemplating God's creation of all these different trees from which we get our wood can be amazing. and the more I worked with specific wood, the more the various properties and nuances became evident. However, my fascination with different types of wood hardly touched my spiritual journey. Little did I realize that what I was working with all day long could be a means of connecting me to God. Yet my growing amazement with different wood became a foretaste of more to come as I began to wonder if the work of my hands could become a way of opening some windows to God and thereby enriching my spiritual journey. Clearly practicing the spiritual disciplines of my morning quiet times, prayer, collective worship, and service to others continue to be instrumental in my growth. But the breeze of the Holy Spirit was now starting to blow into my work life. At some point, I started noticing that the most impactful advancements in my relationship with the Lord came through my work as an entrepreneur and then as an entrepreneurship professor. I have also had the privilege of watching numerous entrepreneurs make significant spiritual strides forward in the context of high work demands. It's always a delight to see their giftedness come alive in their innovative thinking, building organizations, utilizing their unique skill sets, and becoming teachers, and so forth. I now see that work can be an amazing context for advancing our spiritual journeys, though unfortunately, most of these opportunities tend to be overlooked. This book therefore seeks to help you open your own window to knowing God more intimately in and through your work. Since God is everywhere present, this means that He is present everywhere, much more present than most of us realize. Challenges with faith at work. Let's now talk about some of those realities. There have long been significant challenges to meeting God in the workplace. When our spiritual life is seen as separate from our daily work, this is commonly characterized as the sacred-secular divide or dualism. Until we're individually able to dissolve this dichotomy, our spiritual advancement through work will be seriously impeded. For centuries, Christians tended to think of their daily work only as something they did just to put food on the table. The only ones who worked for God were the clergy. Then along came the Reformation in 16th century Germany, and reformers such as Martin Luther, 1483 through 1546, and John Calvin, 1509 through 1564, gave spiritual worth to even the smallest of duties. Calvin reminded us that just as the Spirit of God was the only one, Bezalel, the ability to craft the furnishings of the tabernacle, God is the one who gives us the ability and skills to perform our work. Luther and Calvin both taught that we have vocational callings to serve God and to be the salt in the earth, Matthew 5:13, and their teaching served to open the door for us to see the dignity and spiritual significance of ordinary work. Regardless, some people still feel that pursuing a ministry career is of the highest significance. After all, what could possibly be more important than explicitly being involved with people's spiritual lives? For those not in full-time ministry, they feel that their work is just what they do to make a living. But they can justify doing what they do if they can contribute financial or material support to those with a higher calling. Figuratively speaking, pastors and missionaries are viewed as those sitting in the first class section while everybody else is back in coach. The good news is that over the past 30 years, some people who have felt this impact of the Sunday-Monday gap came together to form what is now known as the Faith and Work Movement, which started from their frustration with the limited relevance of the Christian message to everyday work. These leaders sought to take principles from the Bible and apply them into our work lives. In God at Work, David Miller notes that common issues include identity, meaning, purpose, calling, discipleship, ethics, responsibility, witness, evangelization, and transformation in and of the business world. Most of the subsequent materials and teachings on faith and work can be characterized by the following question: how can your faith impact your work? This approach takes faith issues and applies them to our work lives, hereafter referred to as faith-to-work model. For example, pray continually, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, includes when we are at work and do not worry about tomorrow, Matthew 6:34, because God wants us to let Him take care of the concerns we tend to shoulder. Gains follow from this approach. One recent and particularly refreshing book at this faith-to-work approach is Working in the Presence of God by Denise Daniels and Shannon Vandewalker. These authors offer practical ways for bringing scripture, commuter liturgy, affirmation, gratitude, confession, and so on into the holy ground of the workplace. We are called to pursue such practices, not just on Sunday, but in all of life. The faith-to-work movement can be characterized as an outside-in approach. We take what is learned from our faith gatherings and carry it forward into Monday to Friday. This model rightfully assumes that truths rooted in the scriptures have implications for our work week. Figure 1 illustrates this outside-in approach of seeking to bring learned principles and truths into our work lives. Unfortunately, such truths often don't penetrate far enough into our work lives. This is illustrated by the length of the arrows into the workplace circle in that figure. In sum, although this faith-to-work model offers people some gains, it also places limitations on their union with God. This approach focuses on the individual worker bringing the right actions and practices into the workplace, but far too often, such practices don't translate into inner transformation and closeness with God, and they can tend to limit our spiritual formation growth. We therefore need to consider the scriptures more carefully and probe the transformative potential of meeting God in the workplace. Seeking better work. The past several decades have brought substantial turbulence into our workplaces. Events such as 9/11 and financial crises have brought economic and workforce challenges. And then, in 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic brought a worker shortage and the Great Resignation, when 4 million Americans quit their jobs in July 2021, leaving open 10.9 million jobs by the end of that month. These crises often serve as a wake-up call that work is more than just a paycheck and increasing wealth. Business schools have responded to widespread calls to provide research and teaching for the next generation of students, with more focus on sustainability, ethics, and social purposes. As a result, many schools have revised their curriculum to integrate moral and ethical values. Another response has been to think innovatively and address social issues with entrepreneurial ventures. Entrepreneurship can empower purposeful work and provide a pathway for pursuing a given cause by utilizing creativity, innovation, and artistic expression. Pursuing better work and maintaining work-life balance are good things, and the longing to change the world is God-given. But such desires are not sustainable without an inner life rooted in God. The end, however, isn't about becoming more ethical and balanced in our work and life. Life is more than just being passionate and doing good. The inner strength to engage in such work comes from being able to drink of the living water. As Jesus said, Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. John 4:14. The deepest longing of our heart is to be with God and enjoy Him now and forever. And I believe that our work contexts can actually help us move closer to this great desire. The potential of soul work. In Christ Plays in 10,000 Places, Eugene Peterson notes that the word soul is a comprehensive term for designating the core of who we are, a one-of-a-kind creature made in the image of God. In Peterson's paraphrase of Genesis 2:7, where God forms man from the ground and then breathes into him, he writes, "The man came alive, a living soul." Soul here speaks to the totality of our God-breathed individuality, our spiritual life, and our relationship with people and the earth. Since our work is a major part of who we are, to be able to integrate our work with our God-breathed individuality, spirituality, and relationships is to engage with soul work. With such integration comes enormous dignity. To disconnect work from our individuality and our spirituality is to reduce it to something mechanical or a function of production. When we separate spirituality from our work, we fracture our lives into something less than what God intended in His breathing life into us. Furthermore, it shortchanges one of the central ways in which God often seeks to touch the core of our lives. Soul work, therefore, probes the realities of having a God-breathed living soul to help us transform our souls in a practical way through our work. Work has a possibility of connecting us to the highest purposes for which we were created. It can become a central facilitator in nourishing our souls, taking us to new heights with God, and thus opening the possibility of gaining immeasurable richness in our lives in God.